and welcome to another episode of the Viva Politics podcast. It's a podcast about the intersection of politics, media, and pop culture.
Hosted by Generation X, veteran political consultant Dr. Laura Barbarena, and the Viva Politics Office Millennial, Lauren Coronado. That is me.
Hello, Office Millennial. How are you today?
I'm doing very well, Generation X, veteran political consultant. How are you?
I'm good. Have you tweeted today or you Instagrammed?
I haven't done anything yet today, so neither.
All right, I probably retweeted
something, so we'll go with that.
Okay, we'll go with the tweeting. So, hey, I'm excited about today's topic.
Me too.
Today we're going to be talking about political TV shows. Mm-hmm. And actually, this was your idea, and I was really excited when you kind of brought it up to my attention because I realized how much I love political TV shows. Like, I'm just obsessed with them.
I do too. And I grew up watching them and then kind of got into politics and realized, oh wait, this is not the drama and glory and saving people that it is on TV. So let's talk about it.
Well, and surprisingly enough, there's not a lot of scholarly literature about, you know, political TV shows. Mm-hmm. There's a lot about political journalism, about tweeting, and actually, kind of a one study that came to mind as we were kind of planning to do this podcast was a famous study by Hoffman and Thompson in 2009, where they were looking at The Daily Show. At the time, The Daily Show was in its heyday. Jon Stewart was still the main
I feel like that's accurate. I was about 16 then, and I was watching it.
Yeah. So there was a big concern, like, that people watching the show weren't actually engaging in politics. So this big study was done, and it found out, in fact, that watching late-night TV shows like The Daily Show and local news actually had a significant positive effect mm-hmm. on civic participation. But today we're going to talk about, not focus so much on these sort of satire news shows that actually look at our politics, the real politics, but we want to look at some of the television shows mm-hmm. That have been on over the years. And so what are some of your favorite TV shows about politics that you've...
Well, I think the first one I ever watched was The West Wing, and my middle school dream was to be CJ Craig. So I like The West Wing. I watch Madam Secretary. I watch Veep off and on. I haven't seen all of it, and I'll probably binge it one day. I like Designated Survivor. I like Scandal, if we're class... I mean, Crisis PR and politics, I think that counts as a political show.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Well, when I Googled TV political shows just to see what came up, much to my surprise, Murphy Brown was considered one of the political shows, and I thought, Murphy, now, first of all, have you ever heard of Murphy Brown?
No, I was waiting for a moment to interrupt you and ask who Murphy Brown is.
Well, Murphy Brown, and that show was a great show in its day, but it was more about sort of like a pretend TV magazine show. So it really wasn't about the president's office.
So more like Newsroom?
Yeah, more like a newsroom show.
Exactly. No, the show Newsroom.
Yes. Okay. Yes. More like Newsroom.
That was
yes.
a good show.
Yes. So I kind of classify Murphy Brown more in that vein rather than a show about, like, you know, what it means to hold public office. And, you know, when I think of these shows, obviously I think of Veep, I think of Parks and Rec,
yes,
which is
Parks
a great show.
Also, I think. Also very realistic.
Yes. Yes, and I think of House of Cards Spin City, which you had never heard of Spin City.
I had never heard of it. We found an episode online and I watched it.
And what did you think about Spin City? This was, of course, Michael J. Fox for playing sort of the mayor's chief of staff of New York City.
Yes.
What did you think about Spin City?
I loved it. It was hilarious, very accurate, especially the comms director, how he always runs back into the room and, "Are you lying to me?"
You know, and it's funny because when
I was like, "Oh, I've been there."
Yes, we've all been there. But yeah, I loved Spin City. I thought it was like a great, great portrayal. Obviously, a comedy of what it was like to work in the mayor's office in New York.
And there aren't too many shows about municipal government. I feel like Parks and Rec, and then Spin City.
Yeah, that's right. There aren't very many, which is interesting.
Municipal government is probably the funniest.
Yes, and definitely the most interesting. And certainly
get some characters.
Characters, high drama, and lots of comedy. Uh-huh. So I don't know why they're not doing more stuff on local politics. But yeah, so I really enjoy Spin City. When we look at the TV shows, we sort of classify them in, you know, comedy versus drama. But first, let's just talk a little bit about what makes a TV show political. Because, you know, we were kind of saying, like, Murphy Brown really isn't. Scandal isn't. Kind of, I consider Scandal to be a political show.
Even though she's working with the president, but she's not, like, a staffer.
Right.
But she's a fixer.
Right, right, right. So what do you think? What do you think constitutes a TV show about politics?
That's a... I'm trying to think of how to word this, but, like, if you're dealing with something that's political, whether it be Parks and Recs, because that's still a form of government.
Right, 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 yeah. Right, right. Yeah, I think partially it's, to me, it's going to have characters, central characters that either have an elected position or that work with elected officials. Yeah. So when I think of, again, Spin City was the mayor, West Wing was about the president, mm-hmm. House of Cards, of course, it's the president. So to me, if it has something to do with sort of behind the scenes elected office, to me, it's...
Behind the scenes of elected office. Yeah, that's probably the best.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why I kind of think that Murphy Brown really wasn't. I mean, there may be in some, but I'm trying to recall. Yeah. It's been a long time since I've seen it.
I can't contribute. I don't know about Murphy Brown. But Newsroom, which was the media in politics, kind of, and how that...
Right. And certainly there have been a lot of movies about... But we're not going to talk about movies today because I think that could be its whole episode. But
you don't want to talk about Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter?
Yes, my favorite. So realistic. So realistic its portrayal of vampires and Abraham Lincoln, which brings me to this point of these shows, fiction versus nonfiction, right? Like, yes. So what are the shows? Because sometimes, like the comedies, like for instance, Spin City, mm-hmm. I mean, yes.
It's nonfiction, but it felt more like fiction.
It felt like nonfiction.
Yeah.
Yes. It's fiction?
It's nonfiction because it's a TV show, but... I'm saying the opposite.
I'm like, wait a minute. You're saying it backwards. Yeah. So it's nonfiction. Okay. Start over. Let's start again. Okay. So, like in Spin City, it's actually fiction.
Yes, fiction.
But it feels very nonfiction, even though
Veep
it's a comedy.
Also.
Yes. Veep.
Veep is hilarious. And it feels so real.
It does feel real. And that's funny because, you know, I watched the first episode of Veep recently. And the entire time I was laughing and saying, this is so real, mm-hmm. partially because of the bouncing around, almost like this ADD mm-hmm. kind of feel that it had to it. You're bouncing around from one crisis to another, and you're sort of feeling like these crises are all of the same level when they're clearly not, but you treat them all the same.
Everything feels like a crisis in the moment.
Everything feels like a crisis in the moment. And I felt that sort of over my political career, that you feel mm-hmm. that, right? Someone tweets something and suddenly it's a crisis.
Smaller things, like in the first episode when she's at that fundraiser and her handler or whatever his job is, he's just behind her whispering everyone's name and completely random useless facts about the person. I've been there. And you're like, oh, I don't know if I'm being helpful, but I know this about the person, so I'm going to whisper it.
And actually, there is like a person that does that. Like that's a person's job. I had a good friend who actually used to carry around Nancy Pelosi's purse. Mm-hmm. And we would joke about that because that was his job. Like he had to hold her purse because apparently she has a very big purse and can't be carrying it around with her. But so it's interesting how these shows are really fiction and comedy, but they actually seem very, very real. Whereas House of Cards obviously is fiction, but it doesn't seem as real. Like it's really
murdered mistresses and
although I guess maybe somebody might argue that is real. very, very interesting. But I do love how they take, especially in the comedies, how they take these crises mm-hmm. and really make them into comedic moments. Because mm-hmm. I think oftentimes when we are working on campaigns and trying to deal with crisis management, at the time there's nothing funny about it, but then 2 weeks later you actually can laugh about it. And so I think that's part of where,
like,
I find
the wild
comedy.
Things you did
like
trying to manage a crisis,
right. So I really enjoy watching these comedies where they're dealing with the crisis and how they're scrambling and then how they try to fix them, right? How you mm-hmm. you know, I think that's like the really fun stuff about watching how crises are fixed. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times comedies really go to sort of the ridiculousness of what's done to get fixed. But the truth is that's sometimes how it's done.
I know. And so that's supposed to be like a joke in TV. And this is funny because that doesn't happen, but It does happen.
I know, I know. And that we were also kind of talking about, even when we got to the serious or the non-comedy TV shows, mm-hmm. like Madam Secretary or Designated Survivor, or like The Good Wife, like how they even take on a very different perspective of what government is, right? Mm-hmm. So we're watching these political TV shows, and it sort of is it's a nod or a subconscious portrayal of how our government functions, right? What, you know, who are the people who have real power? Who are the people mm-hmm. that are making decisions? And, you know, is this a, what did you say, government versus diaspian versus utopian mm-hmm. perspective of government? I want to talk a little bit about that, because when we look at shows like Designated Survivor.
Oh, yes.
Wow. Like, where it just seems like such...
like, that's not going to happen.
Right. Yeah, like, there's no way that's going to happen, but yet there are protocols in place should something like that yes. happen.
Someone is actually the designated survivor.
Right. And then it just shows sort of government in an odd way functioning, mm-hmm. right? Like, it is doing a function. Same thing with Madam Secretary, where you see government working for a purpose, for public policy.
And I think you see more of the politics side of it in those shows, like how are we going to get the votes to get this treaty passed and how are we going to pass this bill and going around trying to secure people's votes before the vote, because you don't really see that in the funny shows.
Right, right. But and then the funny shows really portray sort of these issues and how you solve them. But I also think these shows sort of formulate in people's minds how government should work. So I think when...
The serious shows or the funny shows?
Probably both of them. But more so probably...
I think the serious shows, people think that's how it should work because right. it has a more serious tone and this is government and where it's people's livelihood and well-beings that we're playing with and it's not a joke. But sometimes the funny shows are more accurate.
Another thing about watching these shows, and I think... people tend to see the shows and think, oh, that must be how government works, right? Mm-hmm. That must be how things function. And I think it creates expectations of how local government or national government should work. Mm-hmm. So when they make a phone call or send an email or go to a fundraiser or whatever it is that they do, mm-hmm. that they've already have sort of this... predisposed notion of
idea
how,
that they yeah. can just walk up and get a meeting with the chief of staff with yeah. no context.
Yes, yes. And that just typically doesn't happen. I also like how the TV shows, you know, portray constituencies like, you know, the garbage union or, you know, mm-hmm. or the mothers who care for this park or, you know, just it's interesting how they portray the interaction of community with the elected office.
Yes.
And, you know, it's a TV show. So, of course, there's some sort of finish, some something that ends, some closure that happens with whatever issue.
The problem is solved in 30 minutes.
The problem
minutes.
Is solved in
the
30 minutes.
The war is ended.
Yes. And, which typically doesn't happen in real life. There's also other shows that deal with politics and a lot of times they deal with politics in terms of like one of the main characters decides to run for office. So I remember mm-hmm. an episode, for instance, of Modern Family where Claire decides she's going to run for city council.
Oh, I remember and, that. Yeah. Or Schitt's Creek when Moira runs for council.
Yes, Moira runs for council.
Moira on council is my favorite TV elected official.
But so you oftentimes see portrayals of people that, you know, want to run for office. I think episodes of like Law and Order or Bull or these other kind of serious TV shows that aren't about politics, there's always one where there's a show about somebody who's running for office, right? Mm-hmm. And they often portray the politicians as being corrupt or having, you know, some murder something. I remember in Modern Family that it was really great about her running for office because the reason she decided to run for office is because they wanted to get a stop sign. Mm-hmm. And I remember that I just thought that was kind of funny. But oftentimes in real life, like that is actually what prompts people to run for office is because there's an issue that they want fixed and they mm-hmm. go to the elected official and they can't get it fixed. So they say, well, okay, well, I'm going to run for office to fix this one issue.
Yeah.
And actually it, you know, it becomes. Sort
and
of
then
this,
you have to deal with all the other nonsense of being an elected official.
Right. Right. So just to kind of explore a little bit further, but, you know, how do you think, you know, obviously I've grown it up and seen many generations of these kinds of shows, but mm-hmm. how do you think, like, your generation, the millennials, do you think they interpret these shows, and how do you think that makes them view their participation in government? Do you think that they see government as something that functions, or is it a total dysfunction, or do your friends sit around and talk about these shows?
Well, that's a big question. I feel like it's a little different because millennials do have such a wide access to media that it's not just political TV shows that are giving us insight to politics. We have Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. And politicians are engaging more in, like, doing live streams and posting on their stories, like videos of their day-to-day lives and what it's like. So I feel like we do have that inside look, and we're not solely relying on TV shows to be inspired or know what it's like on the inside of an elected official's office.
Well, you know, it's funny. That reminds me of a conversation that you and I were having during the last election cycle. There were a couple of candidates that were tweeting or live streaming sort of like average everyday things. Mm-hmm. And I made a comment to you something like, I'm not interested in seeing someone, do their laundry or, you know, be at the dentist or whatever. And
but it's about what they're saying while they're cooking dinner. It's like you're sitting on the other side of their kitchen counter and talking right. to them about their day in office. It's personable.
Well, and we also talked about how that sort of made them real people, because mm-hmm. I know, like, I feel like my generation, we still try to, like, make our politicians larger than life, mm-hmm. right? We try to make them sort of perfect, right? Mm-hmm. We want to make them other than us, that somehow they're a bit grander than we are. And I kind of feel like your generation is kind of maybe the opposite. It's like you want to see that they're
like
more
human. We have
more
that conversation
human.
A lot.
Like, yeah.
I don't care if you're perfect. I want you to go do your job, please.
Right. And you feel like these kinds of interactions on social media really humanize mm-hmm. these electeds and make them be less on a pedestal mm-hmm. than certainly. And I think that's something that I'm trying to, like, work out of, is this
yeah.
notion that
it feels like less. Because you're hearing directly from them. Like, they're talking to you on a video. They're telling you about the policy and breaking it down in a more simple way rather than, say, a press release that's been polished and reviewed by 6 people and has the points that you want it to have. And I'm sure that they go through when they're talking and have all those things in mind, but it doesn't feel as cold as a press release.
Yeah, but I feel sometimes
that,
like,
I'm not going to read.
But, and I do feel sometimes, though, like, when I see politicians, like, doing sort of these daily chores of their house or whatever it is that they're doing, I'm just like, I'm not interested in you know, the fact that you're cutting the grass in your backyard. Like, I want to know that you're taking care of, you know, a big issue. I want to know that you're spending your free time doing X, Y, Z when it comes to public policy. And I remember you looking at me and saying, but Lauda, they're human beings too.
On Sunday evening, he gets to fold his laundry. He's a person.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I think that's sort of definitely a changing perspective that we have.
I think
of our
it
politicians.
Makes being a politician less toxic.
Well, I wonder to what extent that these TV shows have, you know, sort of open up that opportunity mm-hmm. for allow them to be more human.
Yeah.
Right. Like, when I think of Parks and Rec, like, that is really showing sort of the humanity of these people who work in local government.
The funny yeah. office characters.
Yeah. It's not just about, you know, them at the office mm-hmm. being politicians or, you know, working in public service, but it's also their love life and their home life. And so it kind of humanizes them. One of my favorite storylines of Parks and Rec is when the main character, what's her name?
Leslie. Nope.
Leslie runs for office. She runs for mayor. For mayor.
Yeah.
And those were some hilarious episodes, sort of the escapades of what it, you know, of yeah. running a campaign. And I thought they really kind of captured what it meant to run for a local office in a really cool, funny way. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was hilarious. But
I feel like the back end of these shows too also acknowledge the staff, because the whole point of being staff is that you're not there for the glory. You're there to support the candidate or the elected office holder. And no one really, like, there's always just a crowd of people around the elected. Like, you don't know who they are, what they do. And I feel like TV shows really kind of open that up and, like,
yeah,
show that there's more opportunities to be in government than just being an elected.
Yeah, and Veep does such a good job of that. I think Veep, I think, is hilarious how everyone sort of has this specialized job that they mm-hmm. do around an elected, and that it really does take a team. Because yeah. oftentimes when people come to us asking, hey, I want to run for office, or I want to, you know, be a public servant, like, they don't realize that sometimes actually being the elected official is like the most far remove you will have of actually creating public policy, when in fact it's the staffers or legislative policy people who actually end up doing
your
the
scheduler.
Work.
Scheduler.
Yeah. Yeah. Your scheduler has more power over
your day than you do.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. Well, I'm excited about, like, what the next generation of political TV shows will be like. You know, I was a big fan of, we didn't even mention this, but the X-Files. I don't know if that counts as a political TV show, but there was certainly a lot of politics, you
so,
know,
you want to roll up into the X-Files.
No, I just wonder what sort of the next generation of political TV shows are going to be like. Will they continue, you know, to do this satire? Will they focus on the president? I mean, when we look at where the president is today and what has happening in current politics, I mean, literally, if we wrote a book, people would not believe us. Like, if you wrote that as a comedy show, people would be like, oh, that's so hilarious, it's so fictitious, because some of the things that are happening in Washington today just don't seem like they're
so
based in reality.
Yeah,
yeah, they're just so outrageous that you're like, there's no way.
You're like, who wrote this?
Right, this is fake. So it's just real curious to see, how is that going to affect the way the next generation of political TV shows are going to be? And are they also going to portray a lot more women? Obviously, like, Veep and Madam mm-hmm. Secretary have women as being the center of these TV shows.
And Parks and Recs.
And Parks and Recs. But you'll also notice that, like, almost all of them, all of the presidents are male.
Mm-hmm.
There's very few TV shows where you have women who are at the top of, you know, that are being the president, if you will. So it'd be interesting to see how these shows of the next generation, if they're going to portray mm-hmm. More women, more people of color in these positions of power when it comes to political TV shows.
That's a good point. How do you think TV shows affected your generation's view on politics?
Gosh.
I feel like my generation kind of got all mixed up with our lovely president and social media and then TV shows. So you were before all of this. How do you think your generation was impacted by political TV shows?
I think our generation was probably impacted. I don't want to say they were impacted as deeply and profound. I think that political TV shows are just seen, you know, very much as forms of entertainment and not really like holding up a mirror to what is going on in Washington or
so you
the
never
reality.
Watched a political TV show when you were in college and were just inspired?
Not really. I mean, maybe West Wing, I think. I'm not trying to think, but in college I was too busy being a college student. ironically. No, and I think
that's true. When I was in college, I could just stream whatever shows I wanted when I had time. Yeah. So I got to see everything.
Right. And of course, we can't talk about political TV shows without talking about Saturday Night Live, even though it's not really I don't consider it necessarily a political TV show, but
they have a political segment.
Yeah, and they typically have a political segment, and it's always on spot to me. I just think it's
whenever
really
something
great.
Crazy happens, one of my thoughts is, oh, who's going to play them on SNL?
Yes, it's always like, who's going to play them on SNL? And they've done such a good job. And I remember, in fact, watching here recently, watching the Mueller testimony, and one of the people that commented says something like, it's not Robert De Niro, it's actually Mueller. So, you know, and that it just comes to, like, when you have these really strong portrayal of people mm-hmm. that, like, real people in politics, you begin to think, hey, maybe that's the way they really are or should act. And so I thought that was quite funny, and it showed how a portrayal of someone in politics kind of seeped into what we thought the reality was. Mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of funny. I look forward to seeing what kind of other TV shows come out there, see if there are more portrayals of women and people of color in these higher offices. And then also see how they, we haven't really seen this. There's TV shows, quote unquote TV shows, mm-hmm. or serial shows on Facebook. And most of them are geared toward young people and are about sort of young people things, which is usually love and romance. But it would be interesting to see if there would be these Facebook shows that kind of begin to dip their toes in politics. I haven't seen one yet. Most of them are done around high school kids and college kids. But we see Facebook starting to open up their content to create these serial shows that they do. And they actually release them in real time, and then you subscribe to the channel and then you can watch them. And I mean, I don't
know. Yeah, I think that was kind of their answer to YouTube.
Right.
Drunk History came out of YouTube. That's a good one. That's kind of political.
Yeah, Drunk History could be political.
I want to be on Drunk History. That would be great.
You would be great on Drunk History. Oh my gosh. That would be hilarious. So anyway,
looking to the future, I hope there's more municipal satire.
Yes, we definitely need more municipal satire. I wait for the day when we have a show about school boards, because I don't think there is
school
one.
Board drama.
There could be some great school board drama TV shows. So if there's anybody out there at Netflix that's listening, I could pitch a show to you about school board drama that I think would be an amazing show for Netflix. But anyway, thanks again for listening to Viva Politics Podcast. I'm Dr. Laura Barbena, Generation Xer and a veteran political consultant.
And I'm Lauren Panada, the Viva Politics Office Millennial. And we will see you next Monday.
Yeah, I hope you'll join us next time. And also send us an email or tweet us or DM us any ideas that you have for future shows. We'd love to talk about what you're interested in hearing about.
Yes. Bye.